The most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. We come to you from the Food City in Fountain City. That is on North Broadway, where you can still come by and register for the big ticket. We got somebody registering right now. Come by, find out what that keyword is. Text it to 6868-683, and you could be in the running to qualify for a fantastic prize. I'm Jimmy Himes, along with Vince Ferrar. Pleased now to be joined by Cole Kubelik, does a terrific job with the SEC Network. Cole, how are you?
Hey, doing great. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. Thanks for joining us. And I got to ask you, what's been more difficult for you this week, moving or the decision of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten?
Probably moving. I think I anticipated that at least the Pac-12 was going to shut things down. Did not think the Big Ten would do it this early. But, man, it's been like 102 degrees the last few days. So it's taken a lot out of me. I'm definitely feeling my age because I am sore from head to toe and don't feel like I should be.
Cole, what, do you think that spring football in college is feasible?
It can happen if you need it to, and I think if they don't play in the fall, they're going to need it to, Jimmy. I think you have to get a season in this calendar year, if at all possible, or this fiscal year, I guess. So if there's a way for them to get it in before the summer, I think they'll try to do it. Now, it looked very different, and it would be weird, but if you could get six or eight games in and the TV companies kind of met you in the middle and you could continue to get that revenue that you're used to getting and help float your athletic department till the next year, I think it's possible. Listen, there's going to be NFL guys that sit out. That's fine. So what? It's not going to be 2,000 of them. It's not like teams are not going to be able to have a roster full of guys that are going to go play. You still could find a way to put teams together. You still could find a way to go compete. I think that the biggest concern for me would be how does it impact 2021? I think you'd probably have to bump that season back till at least the first weekend of October and then maybe even compress it for a little bit. So you're impacting two for one. I don't know how great that is, but at least you'd get it in and hopefully get a portion of that revenue that you so desperately need. I don't think the NFL is as bullish as some people believe. You know, a lot of people say, look at the statement they put out. They're not going to move the combine. They're not going to move the draft. Well, guess who they're relying on in the combine and in the draft? It's most of the players from that pool. So the college football has been doing some heavy lifting, if not all the heavy lifting, for scouting and development for the NFL for about 100 years. So let's not pretend like they need information on those guys. And if that meant moving everything back a month, I think they'd probably find a way to do it. So I think you could pull it off. I think it's feasible. It would make things very different. It would impact more than this football season. I mean, think about the development of college football. And that's something we don't spend a lot of time talking about. But, you know, we just missed a spring ball, so that just happened. And if you play this spring, that's going to be another developmental portion of your practice time that's gone. You're going to compress it. You're going to play conference-only games. So when are your redshirt freshmen? When are your true freshmen? When are your guys that are backups that are trying to get a starting role? You know, some of the situational players. When are they getting their reps in games? Are they going to get to play a full fourth quarter? Or are they going to get to play a full second half of a game? Are they going to get meaningful series in those games that you're playing? I don't know if they are. And then you go into fall, which is going to have to be compressed from a contact perspective, which already is, and it's affecting the development of football. So I think we could be looking at serious issues with football development for the next 2 to 5 years.
Cole, what about the safety and health aspect of it if they were to play in the spring? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think we know. I don't think there's any way for us to know. Safety, when you start talking about that much contact and that amount of contact, that part, you have to be concerned about it. We don't know, I mean, that's more of the COVID-19 aspect. We don't know if things are going to be any better. We don't know if things are going to be worse. Are we going to have a vaccine? Are we going to have different treatment options? Who knows where we're going to be? feels like we're heading in that direction, but we don't really have any idea. When you start talking about two seasons in one calendar year, yes, you have to be concerned about safety and efficacy and what's going to happen and what the long-term impact of that's going to be. That's why I say you have to go back to at least first weekend of October. And listen, we think we have people that are, you know, nationally, the media jumping on safety of college football players now. Wait until you try to play a season and then come back and play one 6 months later. They're not going to be happy, and the optics of that are going to be bad, and there are going to be a lot of doomsday football people that are jumping on that bandwagon to try to tell you what a bad person you are for even attempting to do it.
Well, in terms of what the SEC is trying to move forward to and plan right now, how do you feel those players are getting the health and safety within those facilities right now in terms of potentially trying to make it through this season as it stands?
I know they're getting top-notch care. I think you had most of the SEC schools wanted to get out in front of this thing. When you look at how LSU handled themselves, how Auburn handled themselves, how Alabama and other schools went out of their way with the medical professionals that they put these guys in front of, the way that they were monitored, the guidelines that they followed, I feel confident that everything happening now should allow them an opportunity to be able to go out and play. Just because they understood from the beginning what this was going to be. And people will say, well, LSU had a couple positive tests, and I still think the numbers were skewed a little bit too high there from the people that I've talked to. Alabama had a couple of breakouts. That was bad, sure, but now they seem to have gotten it under control. I think that some of the cardiovascular testing and rigors that the Pac-12 is now beginning to discuss, those things have been happening in the SEC for years, since the 90s, and some Pac-12 schools still aren't doing it. And even asymptomatic patients that test positive for COVID at most SEC schools, and the only reason I don't say all is because I haven't talked to medical professionals at all the schools, but I would probably assume at all. I mean, those guys are getting follow-up cardiograms and echo tests on a regular basis to make sure that they're not having any issues post-testing positive for COVID. Even if they're asymptomatic, they've been following up that way. So, this media jump to myocarditis and a couple of different things and how, testing for cardiovascular issues, the SEC's been on top of that, and they've been doing that. And now they're doing more of it since COVID is here, and they've known the potential of what COVID can do. This is not new to a lot of the doctors in the Southeastern Conference.
Our guest, Cole Kubelik with the SEC Network. Cole, I wanted to ask you about this. Do you find it intriguing that it seems like some medical advisors to some Power 5 conferences have different messages to those respective conferences? That seems to be what's going on a little bit.
It doesn't surprise me at all because, number one, different people have different agendas. Different opinions are going to look and sound different from different people. Different people are going to place different emphasis on different things when it comes to how something works or what something does or how dangerous something is. This is not that much different than you and I talking about, is Tennessee a top 10 football team? You're watching one thing. I'm watching another thing. Mm-hmm. I value one thing. You value something else. We can look at the statistics. You can tell me that they run for 210 yards a game. You can tell me they have the number one defense in the league, but I might come back and tell you that, well, I don't think they played anybody. Or I think because other teams have just had a few sloppy turnovers that Tennessee's very fortunate to be where they are, might not be a top 10 team. So we can base it on facts. We can base it on eye tests. We can base it on opinion. We can base it on what we think might happen and how things look down the road. All of those things can be placed and framed and discussed however we want them to. So I think that, and again, keep in mind that the Pac-12 wanted to place cardiovascular concerns at the forefront of their discussion publicly. But Jimmy, go look at the report that they released. There's no discussion of myocarditis anywhere. It's not in there. It's not there. So I think publicly, my personal opinion is the Pac-12 knew they were going to shut down no matter what. This Players United issue probably made it a lot easier for them to make that decision because they didn't want to deal with it this year, and they knew they had a problem on their hands. Now they got a lot of problems on their hands. So It's I think that there are going to be different opinions with anything that we ever talk about. Now, there might be facts that help back up those opinions in different ways, but it doesn't mean – I mean, even medical professionals with science and facts are going to use those to have different opinions on different things. So, I mean, I've talked to cardiologists. I've talked to cardiovascular surgeons. I've talked to vascular surgeons. I've talked to a lot of different people that I trust about these situations, and I just don't get the same concerns. I don't get the same feel from the verbiage that I got out of the Pac-12 the last 48 hours.
So, if I'm not mistaken, you at Auburn, you played against Steve Spurrier and Florida, and I just wonder what you thought. I wonder what you thought of his comment the other day that, well, if the ACC and the SEC play, they'll be a true national champion because one of those teams from one of those conferences is going to win it anyway.
I think Ohio State would have something to say about that. I'll say this, though. I think if we would have gotten it the way that it looked like it was going to go, like let's say the Pac-12 played a 10-game conference schedule. Let's say the Big Ten played a 10-game conference schedule. Let's say the Big 12 played 9 plus 1 with a non-con. SEC played their 10 games. ACC played, a +1 with a non-conference game in there. I think you really could have. We would have been staring down the barrel of somebody potentially stealing a national championship because we just don't know. We don't know who's going to be ready. What happens if we got a week before the playoff and there's an outbreak on one team in the semifinals and starting quarterback, just starting left tackle, starting running back, they're all out. I mean, all of a sudden that's a different football team. So I actually was looking at this season going in thinking, man, this could actually make things really interesting because depth now becomes maybe the most important factor of what kind of football team you're going to be, of just maybe a guy that can get you through a week or two, or a guy who can get you through a 3-week span of a guy not being able to play. That's going to be super important. So I don't know if it was a given that one of those teams was just going to go win it. I mean, he's obviously referencing Clemson, but I mean, I think North Carolina is going to be a really good football team. I think Miami's going to be an interesting team to watch. I think in the SEC, I mean, you look at Tennessee and Kentucky, those are very interesting teams. As they catch a break or two along the way, all of a sudden, they could be playing for a division title late in the year if somebody else doesn't get their act together early or if some of those things like we talked about with players being gone actually happen. So I think LSU is going to be better than people think. Everybody thinks they're just going to fall off and not even be a 500 football team. I don't see that happening. So I think the way it looked like it was going to go, there could have really been a chance for a team to go steal a national title, but I think now with what we have and the way it looks like it's going to be, Coach Spurrier is probably right.
Cole, did you think that the SEC protected the top couple teams in each division in the SEC with their add-on schedule?
I don't know if they did it intentionally, but they definitely did. I don't know if that was a part of the discussion, or I don't know if that was number one on the bullet points of how they were creating the schedule, but I think when you look at who Alabama got, who Georgia got, Florida didn't get a great draw, I didn't think. I don't think LSU's going back to Nashville. I had their game in Nashville last year. You're kind of thinking, how does that happen? So, yeah, I think they did, but I'm not going to say that I think the league did it intentionally. I don't know exactly how that process worked, but I mean, you look at the teams that everybody's playing, and I mean, you can't escape the fact that some of them benefited and some of them definitely have a better path than at least what we thought they were going to have.
Do you have a theory or a thought on how road games are going to work for SEC teams or any teams that play in college football? Because the automatic discussion point is, oh, well, that it totally eliminates home field advantage, and then so it's a level playing field. Do you think there's anything else that maybe could help the home team or make it more stressful or higher anxiety, anything for the road team? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do think travel becomes a little more complicated. I mean, let's think about it. Travel is just going to be a pain, whether it's how you're on a plane, if you even decide to try to stay in a hotel room, which I think most teams are going to try to go day of if they don't have that early kick. Then now that becomes a little bit tiresome, and that's gonna bring some fatigue. If you're waking up at 5 a.m. to bus to the airport and then fly somewhere and then bus to the stadium, and then you probably end up having to sit around a little bit more once you get there. That gets you out of your comfort zone a little bit. And I think too, there's always a there's always a factor of relaxation when you're at home. You know where the locker room is. You know where your locker is. You know how long it takes to get there. You know exactly where to be, when to be, how to be there, what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like. Even without fans, you scrimmage there enough to know how it's going to be. So I still think it's an advantage of being at home. And I do think travel just in general is going to be a little more stressful for teams this year.
Cole, Trey Smith, Tennessee offensive lineman, in spite of the blood clot issues he's had, said he intends to play this year. I'm not a big fan of trying to tell everybody else whether they should or shouldn't play, but I wonder from your perspective, would you play? If you were at Auburn, would you play this season?
Let me put it this way. If I could do things to other human beings that Trey Smith is capable of doing, I would probably put pads on in every chance that I got. Because being able to humiliate other people on a regular basis the way that Trey does, I imagine is very fun. I can't tell you what that's like because I don't have the talent, never did, to be able to do that. So I can't speak from experience. However, I see what it looks like on film, and I can only imagine what that feels like to be able to accomplish regularly. So if I was able to do that, I think you'd have a hard time telling me not to be able to go out and do that to people every chance that I got.
I don't know if you saw Jeff Brohm's plan, the Purdue coach, play 8 games in the spring, 10 in the fall, start the fall season in October. Do you think that is a feasible plan? Do you like it, dislike it? What's your opinion on that?
I'm not going to say that I like it, Jimmy, but as we discussed before, I think there's a part of this that's going to have to happen, honestly. You have to get that revenue. Athletic departments are going to go under. I mean, they're going to close their doors. And I think that when you start talking about some of this TV money just disappearing, it's not going to be feasible. They're not going to be able to allow that to happen. So I think it's a well-thought-out plan. Mm-hmm. I think it's still probably too many games. I think more like 6 in the spring, 8 in the fall feels more realistic to me if you're going to keep any kind of postseason in the fall, which I imagine in the spring you're not even thinking about that. But if you could go get 6 games in the spring and then bump it down to 8 in the fall, I think that's doable. That's not exorbitant, and that's not. I don't think that's overdoing it, and I don't think that you're. I don't think you're pushing guys over the cliff by any stretch of the imagination. So, but the timing of it, I do kind of like. I mean, I'll tell you guys, like I did on our show earlier today in Birmingham on Jocks. Like Sko, when he's talking about starting practice, go look at some of the average temperatures in Lincoln, Nebraska, and in Minnesota, and in Madison, Wisconsin. It doesn't sound like a whole ton of fun. But, you know, those guys are a little more built for it and prepared for it. So you got to get it in where you can fit it in this year. It's going to look different. It's going to sound different, feel different, be different. But you got to find a way to get it in if it's all possible. I laugh at these people who say that it can't be done and they won't do it. And it's just not going to happen. And I think to myself, boy, you really are not considering what's at stake here and what not only is needed but must have. I mean, the financial aspect of this is must have for a lot of these athletic departments, and they're not going to just pack up and walk away from any of it.
Hey, Cole, I know you're very busy this week. Thank you so much for taking the time. Always a pleasure to catch up with you, and I hope the next time we talk, we're talking about football games being played.
I hope so. Thank you guys for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Cole. Cole Kubelik, former offensive lineman at Auburn and with the SEC Network, does a terrific job. When we come back, we'll have more. We come to you from the Food City and Fountain City. And the Food City here, you can save big on a variety of items. Check out the fresh ground chuck, $1.99 a pound for 3 pounds or more. That's through this Saturday. Take advantage of that. Don't miss out on it. Also, don't miss out on the chance to come by and register for a chance to be a qualifier for the big ticket. We've got the keyword here that you would text to 68683, and that could put you in the hunt. Also, our thanks to Body Armor Sports Drinks, one of our sponsors. With Vince Farrar, I'm Jimmy Himes, Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
You know how to pass the time when you're on the job. With 45 minutes of sports every hour. 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. We're coming to you from the Food City in Fountain City. We're going to get out quickly because Vince Ferrar did a great interview with Britton Colquitt. I haven't even heard it, but I know it's great because I know how Vince's interviews go. So when we come back, we're going to bring you part one of that interview with the VFL that plays for the Vikings. Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Hey, this is Vol for Life, Troy Fleming. We're counting it down. It's just
44 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Welcome back to Sports Talk. We come to you from the Food City at Fountain City. Vince, I know you had a chance to catch up with the VFL and really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, he was outstanding. It was like a couple guys just sitting around talking football. And so we'll jump right into it. We touched on a lot of things in his personal life and football and how things are going in the NFL in a camp. So here is my part one of my conversation with veteran VFL and Vikings punter Britton Colquitt.
Britton, Vince here, Knoxville. How you doing, Britton?
I'm great, Vince. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So you guys are practicing social distancing, got the mask going. What's that experience been like in this COVID NFL season prep?
Man, it's wild. You know, we got these little guys that are, you know, you could have them and they blink. Right now they're not blinking because I'm good. I see it blink blue, but
the detectors.
They blink red when you get too close and things like that. So I'm always looking down at mine. I'm like, God, I'm gonna get in trouble. You know, I'm a social guy, a butterfly, you might call me. But so it's not easy. It hasn't been easy. You know, getting tested every single day in the morning. So the nose swab's been kind of like our norm and everything. So it's a different thing. Forgetting this all the time. So now I'm constantly trying to figure out one that works the best, and this is working the best because I can just leave it on, you know, and then you just pull it up, and then you're good. Also, feel like one of the old, you know, in the West, in the Wild Wild West, you know. So cool. But it's a wild, it's a different deal, you know. And then you get out to the football field or get in the weight room, and it's kind of back to normal, and you can do your thing. So, but it's just great to be back, and you know, hopefully everything works out.
The weirdness and the craziness of it and all those extra little steps, it seems like that's offset by the excitement to be back out there and work towards a season. Is that accurate?
Very accurate. That's definitely true. I mean, everybody just kind of jokes about it. It's just become a big kind of a laugh. You just, this is the new norm for now, and everybody embraces it because they're happy to be back. In a way, it's good, a lot of good things, because for me and my wife and my family, my four kids, it's, you know, we have night meetings at home, not staying in the hotel. Typically during training camp, you know, she might not come up here in the city that I'm at just for the first couple weeks because it's so, you know, I can't even hardly see him. Mm-hmm. So that's been really great being able to stay at home, besides the fact that I've not had one night that hasn't been interrupted by one, two, three, or four kids. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. Like last night, for example, my go-to kids that are always end up in the bed, you know, the two girls, one of them doesn't show up. They sleep soundly, right? And my 8-year-old, my guy, my one I could depend on to never wake me up in the middle of the night, I wake up at like 2 a.m. and I'm just like, why do I feel like I'm in a single bed? And it's because his giant self is right next to me. And I'm like, Nash, what are you doing? You never do this. But, of course, you choose to do it the one night that the girls don't. So that's the only thing. I'm lacking sleep, whereas in training camp, normally you're getting the most sleep ever, especially as a father. It's been really good to be with the family.
Yeah, and I was going to say, at least you guys still have an opportunity to do so. Could you imagine yourself in a full bubble situation like some of those other sports do?
No, it would just – man, my heart goes out to them, to their families. I know that they're doing what they got to do to figure it out and make it work. You know, hopefully that doesn't happen with us when it comes down to it. There is a little bit of a, you know, my wife's always asked me, she's like, so what are they saying about, you know, the fans? And I'm like, they're not saying, no one, they don't know, you know, they're around here. It's almost like it's almost like one of those things like, hey, don't talk about it. So no one, you know, so we don't get found out. I don't know, you know, it's like, people don't know. It's almost like the coaches, everybody, we're just kind of holding their breath, but we're doing our due diligence. We're going to be ready, and hopefully it works out. It's going to be sad if, you know, the fan thing happens and all that, but I guess we'll see what happens.
Britton, by you saying, I don't know, you'd slide in perfectly into being a sports talk show host over the last 5 months, because we're used to saying that.
Yeah, exactly. Usually I have some kind of insider information. This is way above, you know, my insider information. And I'll spill the beans, you know, I'm a talker, but I got nothing.
We're visiting with VFL Britton Colquitt. Had a tremendous career at the University of Tennessee, 43 games, second on the all-time punting average list, and now with the Minnesota Vikings. So what's that Vikings experience been like for you? How's that organization treated you and your family?
Awesome. We love it. We love Minnesota. We love the people here. Just in general, where we live in the community is great. The ownership from the top down, you know, you're at a good program. It always starts from the top. And thankfully I've been at three programs that had great ownership. Not necessarily the winning that they wanted in Cleveland, but the Haslams were great, as all Tennessee fans know. They're great here, the Wilfs and the coaches and everything. We've loved it. The facilities are top notch, unbelievable. As a punter, people are always like, oh man, Minnesota, it's cold. And I'm just like, I don't care. We play inside, you know, bring it on. Whereas, you know, you're in Cleveland and you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to be in that weather every game, you know? It's still, that doesn't matter to me. And we've kind of embraced the winter, and it's hard to say it's a good winter when it's 0 degrees and it feels like negative 20 and you take your kids to school or you follow the bus to school. I mean, they were taking the bus, which is conveniently just like right outside our house. Feet of snow and it's under 0 degrees with the windshield, and they're just like, let's go. And the bus drivers are waving. I mean, it's normal here. That's what they do, and they embrace it, and it's cool. It's great. You know, they have sled days at recess at school. So we love it. We love everything about it. Obviously the weather right now is beautiful. Can't beat it. So it's a good place to be.
So a couple of teams have done kind of the team hotel type of thing. Do they do that for some guys voluntarily up there or not with the Vikings at all?
Yeah, they do. They're doing a voluntary thing, and the rookies. I'm not sure if the rookie thing is voluntary. It might be mandatory, but it's at the same hotel that they did camp here in the past. Obviously, I wasn't here for camp last year, but yeah, it's just a voluntary thing. And I don't know. I've heard, I guess, the Saints are doing it, but they practice somewhere else, right?
Right.
So it's not, that's a little different. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of how we're going to be when we're on the road. I'm thankful that we're doing it the way we're doing it. We haven't had barely any issues. I think the issues that we had early were guys that already had it, mm-hmm. but didn't know they had it. And so it was kind of in their system. And right. so they go home for a couple of days and all of a sudden they're back sooner than you normally would, but it's because they've already had it. So unbelievable job that what they're doing here as far as the protocol and everything. I mean, it's, top notch. It's top of the line. They're almost a little strict about it, is, you know what I mean? From somebody who's like carefree and everything, but they're doing what they got to do to keep us safe and keep the numbers down and things like that, which is going to give us the best chance to play.
Well, that's good to hear, because I think a lot of people, or maybe some of the national analysts, they make it seem like there's no way the NFL can pull this off. So right. hearing that kind of feedback on how strict they are, that's maybe a little bit of a positive sign for fans.
Yeah, I think they're doing anything they can, because they know that the cards are stacked against them, mm-hmm. and they want to get to the point where we're playing and we're doing all that kind of stuff. And the biggest thing right now is the players. I mean, if the players are all of a sudden not able to be at work and stuff like that, then that's your big thing. But if everybody's healthy and you're playing a sport like football and you're coming into contact like that, then obviously it's working and things like that, the protocol is having its effect in a good way.
We're visiting with Britton Colquitt, punter for the Minnesota Vikings VFL here on Sports Talk. You mentioned punting indoors. And I wonder, from a strategy standpoint, because you guys have various kinds of punts to do different things, especially when you're trying to down those punts inside the 20 and the 10. On turf versus grass, how does that change things for you to try to get the right bounce, the right spin, the right ball reaction when it hits the ground on turf versus grass, if at all?
Yeah, it's not maybe as much as you think, but there is, it does, it is more extreme than grass, whatever it's going to do. You know, if you get a bounce forward in a game on grass, it's going to be more amplified on turf. So, you know, if you're going for inside the 10 and you get a bounce forward towards the end zone, you know, there's almost no chance that the guy's going to get it unless he's in perfect position. You know what I'm saying? Whereas on grass, you might have like a little tumble that some guy can run and dive at.
Right.
So that's got to be kind of be in the back of your mind. It doesn't necessarily always change everything you do. And then vice versa, when there's times in practice, say, you know, the returners aren't always going to catch them, and the gunners sometimes just, instead of maybe catching a ball at the 8, because typically a returner would do that, so maybe the gunner in practice is just going to make sure it doesn't go in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And I've had where it like hits at like the 8 or the 9 or the 10. And in my head, I'm like, okay, we're good. That's a fair catch at the 10. And it bounces back like 15 yards. and then you got the coaches like, you know, Kubiak and Zimmer, and looking at me, and they're like, did you just hit the ball to the 25 yard line? I'm like, no, it would have been fair caught at the 10. So, you know, that kind of thing, it is in the back of your mind. So you, it makes you be more of a perfectionist and think about those things. Obviously, we have the outdoor fields, and so we're practicing mostly on those until the weather changes. But when it's in that between time, I'm able to go in and say, hey, the weather's nice, so we're outside, right? But we're actually playing indoors this week. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to get a set inside for my grip and all those things. And it's just great to have, because you can do like what you're alluding to with different types of punts. If there's a week, you know, outside here or in Cleveland or in Denver when it's just windy and snowy all day, I'm kind of trying to survive in a practice and just, you know, get out of there feeling good about myself. Whereas if you have a chance to be able to punt inside, you can really hone in on your craft. You know, it's like a golfer he's never going to just put himself out on the driving range in tornadoes every day. He's going to set himself up to where he can really work on his craft. So I think this has really helped me on my craft and come up with different things like that to be more creative and just be more consistent.
Awesome. So you got this hat on that says kindness, pass it on. Give me a backstory there and anything that you want to back up with that message.
Yeah. So it's Kind Humans is the brand. I think it's like a Southern California thing. Honestly, I don't know much about it besides my wife got it for me for Father's Day. So I've been sporting it ever since, but she got it around about the right time with a bunch of stuff where we just need to be reminded that, you know, it's all about being kind and loving your neighbor, and we're all God's children and we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and just be kind, you know. And it's funny because it's like, that's what I'm always trying to tell my little kids, my four little kids. I mean, it's in 1 second, you know, probably in 1 second, it's like they hate each other. We're like, you know, with daughters especially, I swear they'll look at each other, and if one of them looks at each other weird, it's just like, and then you're just like, well, where did that come from? You know, it's just like, don't look at me like that. And so just treat others the way you want to be treated. Be kind, love your neighbor. And I mean, the world would be a much better place, you know, and that kind of everything falls in underneath that if you're kind to your neighbor. So.
Love it. You're also sporting a mustache. Explain how that went down, your decision on that. Looking good.
You know, I've kind of been subtly sporting it. It's a little long right now. I've subtly been sporting it for a couple years because I kind of always have something going a little bit. I don't like the clean shave deal. It just never went well with me. Maybe it was too much work, or it probably started because I developed so much later. You know what I mean? I was all patchy and all that. So. Anyway, it was like a couple years ago, and my wife Nikki was just like, yeah, I kind of like you with the mustache. And I mean, you know how it is. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
If a woman looks at you and says she likes something one time, I'm in. You know, now if she tells me 2 years later, I hate your mustache, why are you still doing a mustache? I'm out. It's gone.
Yep.
We'll never see it again. So I kind of, that's kind of been my thing. And, I don't know. I'm whatever. I'll do whatever she likes.
Smart man.
Vikings punter Britton Colquitt. When we come back, we'll have part two of Vince's interview with Britton Colquitt. We come to you from the Food City in Fountain City. Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Else.
From
the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
It has to be a real big woman.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Part two of our interview with Britton Colquitt. Vince, I know you had a chance to catch up with him. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, here it is. A more fun convo with Britton Colquitt of the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, we're visiting with VFL Britton Colquitt, punter of the Minnesota Vikings. Our last couple of things with you. I don't want to be greedy with
you. You're good.
Really appreciate it. The Vikings this season. Give me your thoughts on your excitement level, how good this team can be this year.
Man, it is exciting, you know, because I came in so new last year, and I'm just like, yeah, I know these names. There's some talent here, some ups and downs, really exciting. And you look how far we went, what we did in the playoffs, and then to play as probably as poorly as we did against the Niners and still kind of be in that game. I'm really excited about it. We lost a couple guys, but I think we also gained a couple guys. And those numbers are higher than that, obviously. But like everybody, it's I don't want to say it's a young team or an old team. It's a really good mix. I'm obviously the oldest one, but I really like it. And the guys are great. The coaches are great. They've kind of assembled the coaching staff, which has been growing in a positive way too. And that you don't always see that. You know, you see some players here, some coaches there, and this has the makes for a good run.
How much do you and Harrison Smith talk Knoxville?
A lot more lately. A lot more lately that it's kind of – we're getting older and we're kind of thinking about, you know, Knoxville might be – is probably where we're going to settle down, especially us in the last couple of years with the four kids. We're kind of thinking, man, we need to maybe get on a little bit more of a normal – deal and with family being in Knoxville and friends and all those things, we're kind of thinking about getting the kids growing up in that area. And they just bought a house there in Knoxville. I won't tell you the exact address, but I will tell you it. No. And so he's kind of moving that direction too. And so we chat about it a lot. It's cool because, you know, we didn't know each other growing up because I was 4 years ahead of him. And, you know, in high school, if you're 4 years ahead of somebody, you're not even in the same, like, you know, area or whatever. We weren't in the same, you know, he was in middle school, I was graduating high school. So it's really cool to see somebody make it to where he is. And then it's just like, I still fall back. I'm just like this punter, you know, I'm like this, and he's like this big time guy. And yet it's just this guy from Knoxville, you know, that looks, you know, kind of like me. You know, obviously he's got something in here that's a little more messed up that can make him go out there and do what he does. But it's really impressive to me that, you know, he's this, I don't know, maybe Hall of Famer is aggressive, but just he's been a Pro Bowler, an All Pro, and he's from Knoxville. And I didn't really know who he was before I was leaving. So, and it's anyway, that's brought us together. And We're different personalities for sure, but I think we mesh well together. And who knows, maybe we'll just be golfing buddies in Knoxville one day.
Super guys, both of you, for sure. And you played soccer at Bearden. Just quickly, what do you like in terms of the sport? Do you follow it at all?
So I'm a little more in kind of the European League stuff. Yeah. Gosh, man, I just don't watch much TV, and so I really don't. I'm loving what they're doing over there with the soccer, with the fans are outside the stadiums, and you can still hear them chanting and singing, and I'm really impressed with that. I'm trying to figure out how the NFL can do that. It won't really work here because we're indoors. Have to open the windows or something. But awesome how, you know, Bearden Soccer is still doing their thing, and I'm always supporting them, and anytime I get back, I'd love to, you know, go by there. And I got by there recently, and not with the soccer program, but I was fortunate enough to speak with the head coach of football and work out in their new gym and everything. Very impressive. It was nice. Sure wish I had that when I was there, but I'm glad they have it now. So it's cool to get back.
Awesome. Quick update on Dustin. Is he ready to go in case an opportunity presents itself?
Yeah, he's ready to go. It was just such a weird year. I mean, if it would have happened any other year, he would have been in spring camp with somebody and in training camp with somebody. But I think just because of, not because of his age, but because of maybe the pay level, there's something with the cap signing somebody in that offseason and the fact that there were so many unknowns and they didn't even know if they'd be back. So I think teams are – I think he'll be signed either week one by somebody or week two by somebody because, you know, you get around that veteran thing where they're guaranteed the whole year if you don't sign him week one. So in my opinion and yours and most people's that know football, he's top five. Don't tell the Vikings, but I mean, he's probably better than me. So hopefully that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm glad I'm guaranteed this year because hopefully they don't. So I think he's going to be, you know, I think he'll have a shot. He's ready and he's getting old, but he's got a few years left in him.
I know you don't watch a lot of TV, but I'm sure you're aware of a couple of Power Five conferences postponing till the spring. And there's still the possibility we may not have any college football this fall. What do you make of that notion?
It's just crazy to me. I see how if there's no fans, it's such a big, you know, financial loss compared to the NFL. You know, we're kind of flipped, whereas ours is all in the TV and then less in the stadium. Man, it's just hard to believe. I don't know. I just, in the back of my head, I still think everything's going to be normal and all that. And man, I just, them playing without fans would be maybe worse than postponing it, honestly, because it's such a fan experience, you know? I mean, especially there in Knoxville. Talk about the best place to play in college football and the best fans. It's just a great place. So that would be so weird to play in just a hollow stadium. I mean, I'm already weirded out thinking about our stadium if it's going to be like that and all that. So I just, who knows? I'm praying and hoping that it works out. And I don't know if the NFL, if the college doesn't happen, if we'll jump on Saturdays. I feel like that could be a thing. And then they kind of fill some spots there. They'll probably figure out a way to make some cash back on that and us play on Saturdays and keep everybody happy. But I've also heard that worst comes to worst, we could be in the spring. You know, that's a thing that's out there too. And I just can't imagine what that looks like either. Just strange. I have a feeling that after the election, a lot of stuff's gonna fall off and we might be like, oh, okay.
Hey, Braden, great to talk to you. I guess Pat practices start Monday for you guys. Is that right?
Yep, Monday. So it doesn't change much for me. I'm going to be protected. So don't worry. Don't worry. No one's going to be taking me out.
You're used to the physical distancing already, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be more of just like, God, his helmet's kind of – oh, man.
Is the mask under in the helmet as well for you or no?
No, I think there's an option. Okay. I mean, I'll be not going to be doing that. So I feel good about that. I mean, especially in our building, I mean, everybody's testing every single day. It's just kind of everything's just protocol. It'll be weird, you know, when guys are going out there, you know, in the real games. But again, I'm back there and I'm socially. That's the thing is like kickers. It's like the whole lonely kicker thing. We're just socially distanced from the get-go. Welcome to our world.
Hey, Brent. Awesome. So much fun to talk to you all the time. All the best to you this season. We'll try to catch up with you again here real soon.
All right. Thanks, man. It's great to see you guys.
All right. Go good balls. To see you.
Britton Colquitt, great conversation with Vince Ferrari. When we come back, we'll be joined by Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com as we come to you from the Food City and Fountain City. Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.